This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
We're joined by Dr. Marnie Lishman. She's our health and community psychologist. Welcome.
Hello.
Now, we've gotten you on here this afternoon because we want to talk to you about something that I brought to the team a couple of weeks ago. And I was told the term for it is conversion disorder. So it was a few weeks ago, and a family friend of mine, their daughter, 15 years old, perfect health, all that sort of stuff, went to bed the night before and then woke up the next morning and could not feel anything from the waist down, including not being able to move her legs, nothing.
She just could not get out of bed.
Just couldn't get out of bed, right? She could move everything from the waist up and could feel everything from the waist up, but everything from the waist down, nothing. Couldn't feel anything, couldn't move anything. They rushed her off to hospital. They put her through all sorts of tests and everything. And the doctors came back and went, we don't know what's wrong.
Like, wow.
She is in perfectly fine health. There is no reason why she should not be feeling everything from the waist down, and she should be able to move her limbs and stuff. They eventually put it down to this term called conversion disorder. This blew my mind.
Can I just ask, is she walking now?
She's walking now, but here's...
How long did it last?
Well, it lasted for about 6 weeks, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Right? But here's the thing, right? She's walking now, but she still can't feel anything...
What?
...from the waist down. So it's as if she's floating, but she can walk. Dr. Marnie Lishman...
Wow.
Over to you.
Yeah. You know, interestingly, conversion disorders, they're quite rare in the mental health setting. So I don't actually see many people with conversion disorder. I see people in pain, with chronic pain, which is quite similar, you know, pain that should be healed and is healed and the brain's still turning on real pain. But other psychologists don't see conversion disorders very much because they're physical symptoms. So
yes,
they often present to a neurologist or, you know, a medical specialist because that's the way they come through. They come through their GP, don't they? So they get all the physical stuff tested first. So they rarely get to me unless, you know, all the diagnostics have been, you know, kind of ruled out for physical health conditions.
She's not a stressed out person. She's not getting bullied at school. Like, it was all no to these questions that were getting asked.
Interesting. Mm. I mean, and the specific cause of conversion disorder, it's still being studied, but the majority of people who have it, it's usually some sort of emotional pain they're actually going through. And I think a lot of us forget that, you know, stress and anxiety actually underpins the majority of physical health conditions.
Mm.
But often it is. It's the brain turning on a real pain or real sickness or some sort of real disorder, you know, after all the diagnostics happen and you go through all the, you know, your GP, your specialist, and rule out all the physical conditions, you know, what's left is, you know, getting support for these people and some sort of therapy to find out what the emotional pain is and why the brain's turning this on.
Well,
amazing is the brain. I mean, really.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Well, she is going through physiotherapy and quite intensive physiotherapy to try and get feeling back.
Have they stuck pins in her legs and things like that, or am I thinking of old Little House on the Prairie
episodes? No, like they, like
Nellie Olson was faking it.
Pinpricks and stuff like that.
Wow.
But she can't feel it.
Like, she can't, so she really can't feel it.
Really can't feel it. It's bizarre.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing, some people have, you know, found you woke up sneezing nonstop, or people have gone blind.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
Very
well, hats off to you, Dr. Marnie, because, gosh, so many things out there that goes on with our brain that defies explanation that you've got to try to deal with.
All right. Well, look, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We know we can always count on you when we want to talk to a professional about this sort of stuff. But, yeah, it was, like I said, it was just something that blew my mind completely. I never heard it before, and neither had the family that was going through with it.
Well, it might help them to know they're not the only ones.
Right.
This stuff does happen.
Exactly.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you, Dr. Marnie Lishman. It's
fascinating.
Very fascinating. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who quite possibly had gone through this. I mean, John in Byford's called
had a call, yeah.
And he's saying conversion disorder happened to him.
Wow. You'd probably think you're the only one when it happens to you. So it's good to at least to know that it's a thing.
Yeah.
Like Harry Styles' nipples, it's a thing. Sorry, I'm a little obsessed with Harry's four nipples this week.
I'm obsessed, but for
it's
the other
for me
reason.
To let it go.
It's good to know that he's not perfect. anyway, look, in regards to this, look, I'll keep across exactly what's happening
with
them.
Yes, keep us posted.
Call back and, yeah. Lisa and Peter, Mix 94.5. We're made in Perth. Just quickly, we've just had word that there's a car pile up southbound on the Kwinana Freeway near Thomas Road, and traffic is backing up. It's extremely slow. So southbound Kwinana Freeway, Thomas Road, traffic extremely slow if you can avoid it.
You're going to have to incorporate the patience, people.
Yep, do so. We're joined by Glenn Wilson from Triple M Goldfields. Hi, Glenn.
Greetings, how are you?
Good,
Glenn. You're in Kalgoorlie today, obviously.
Yeah, look, there's been some peaceful demonstrations. This all comes out during the verdict of the Elijah Doughty case.
Yes.
Where a 56-year-old man has been convicted of dangerous driving causing death while the jury found him not guilty of manslaughter. This comes after an incident that occurred in Kalgoorlie-Boulder in August last year, where it's been put to the court in recent time that the 14-year-old was fatally struck by a 2-ton utility after he'd fallen off a bike that he was on a bush track in what's known as Gribble Creek. There were demonstrations that you would have seen back in August last year where there was some just scenes of hurt and anger on the main street of Kalgoorlie-Boulder. Mm. That sort of reenactment did not occur today after the trial, which lasted 4 days. The jury sat for about 7 hours and deliberations came to a result where Chief Justice Wayne Martin accepted the driver was pretty remorseful for his actions.
Mm.
Sentence which has been handed down has been backdated to the time of the incident, so that goes back to August next year, meaning he could be released as early as February next year.
Wow.
He's also disqualified from driving for 2 years. Now, we can't name the man who is involved there due to legal reasons at the moment, but look, the probably the main thing for you too here, Lisa and Pete, is that what happened in Kalgoorlie-Boulder last year was not reenacted today in any way, shape or form. It was peaceful. Look, they're a very vocal crowd in terms of support wanting justice.
A demonstration, not a riot, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So there'll be scenes that people see over the next couple of days. I may have even seen them already, but a crowd very well behaved. If only there was probably one or two arrests, if that, and the police contingent that were in Kalgoorlie-Boulder for today handled themselves with absolute professionalism and allowed that pouring of emotion.
To be vented, yeah. Mm. And the family not happy leaving the court here in Perth, of course. But can we talk about, was it established that Elijah was on a bike that was stolen from this man?
As far as we're aware, that's how it all panned out. And that's been put through the court system in the last couple of days that he was riding it. He was riding it at the point of impact as well. And then I think it was 67 kilometres per hour that were established that the vehicle was travelling when the two vehicles met.
Glenn, I heard earlier today that the jury came together, deliberated, and then couldn't reach a verdict. So the judge said to them, "Look, I'll take a majority rather than like all of you agreeing on the one." Is that I've never heard of that happen before? Was that unusual?
It's probably unusual to make the media in this sort of a case, but it's allowable under the state law. So if you cannot reach an agreement, the judge will take two numbers off, which he did, and from 12 down to 10 made that decision, and it came pretty quickly after that had happened.
All right, mate. Well, thank you for clearing up a couple of things as well, because from everything that we'd heard up here, the town was on a knife's edge. So, yeah, good to hear things are steadying along down there in Kalgoorlie at the moment.
Absolutely. And after everyone had got together in the main street of Kalgoorlie-Boulder, they'd moved to a park which is probably about three blocks from the Kalgoorlie-Boulder courthouse.
Yeah.
And that's where they gathered. They all got together as a group. They were able to do that without any interference from the police or any of those outside influences.
Yeah.
And that was a place for them to gather. And
it's a closed town, Kalgoorlie. The people really care about it and they don't want to be known, for anything else other than caring about each other and so on. They don't want to be known as that rioting town or anything.
No,
so
absolutely.
I think it's a good thing they did this afternoon.
Absolutely. And look, the town's back to normal. There were a few retailers who were affected by today, but look, people still said to me as I walked down the main street of town, just as part of the protests which were happening, we've actually had a better day today than what we've had in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All right.
From a retailer point of view, what more do you want to ask? Side note, but look, after everything has happened, it's been a good outcome that it's happened for the town. There's no violence demonstrations that have happened or anything like that, so that's good.
Good on you, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Hey, Lise, in the past week, a few interesting things have happened for the Greens. Mm. Senator Scott Ludlam has, he's gone.
And then Senator Larissa, also gone.
Gone.
And unfortunate circumstances.
Incredibly unfortunate circumstances. You know what? All that sort of stuff is yet to be sort of finalised, and they may very well come back after a couple of things with the Constitution possibly change. But in the meantime, Somebody's got to get in there and do it. And this is an incredible story. 22-year-old disability advocate is set to become the youngest Australian senator, and he's about to get in there and represent the Greens, Jordan Steele John, and he joins us in studio now. It's so good to have you here, mate.
Wonderful. It's Jordan, pleasure to be with you.
Now, Jordan, you are in a wheelchair. We just introduced you as disability advocate. How much do you want to be disability advocate or Green Senator Jordan?
I think what I hope to do in the weeks month ahead is combine both.
Yes.
You know, like I'm proudly a young person.
Yep.
Well, I don't really get much choice in there.
No, that's right.
I'm proudly a person with a disability. Again, yep. Not that I have a choice. But I've done a lot of work in that space, talking about how important it is to make sure that those voices are heard,
yep.
That they need to be heard, they have a right to be heard, and a wonderful contribution to make. So I'm looking forward to taking that into the Senate.
Because it is what it is, but also you're getting into politics for,
absolutely.
Not just for that reason.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, it wasn't that long ago. I remember when I was 22, the only thing I wanted to do was hang out with mates, go to Fast Eddie's in Cannington at midnight and have a Sunday and play Call of Duty. And here you are about to get into the big seat to lead the Greens. I mean, how does this all start for you?
I mean, I do all of those things too.
good to know.
I play through my brother's account on COD and ruin his KD with glee. But no, I've been active, kind of involved in politics and advocacy for about 6 years.
Yep.
I've always wanted to make a difference and always thought that politics was a good way you could do that.
Yeah.
So, it's always been right for me. Mm. And I hope that through, going through this process, more young people feel as though they want to get involved with the process, their vote and their voice matters.
Mm. And your experience is you've been myth-busting
for
a while, because when you are in a
wheelchair. But I have been myth-busting.
Well, I love that show on the ABC, You Can't Ask That. And I watched the one with wheelchair users.
Yep.
And I think it should be compulsory school viewing, those sort of shows. So you've already been busting myths about things, and that's given you some experience to get into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that shows like that do is break down the stigma that surrounds.
And that's what you've got to do. We're only scared of what we don't understand.
We are indeed. And I hope to, by doing this job, show that, we absolutely do belong in the community. We are part of the community, making a wonderful contribution already.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain discriminations that we face, but once those are removed, we make an incredible contribution to society.
If you get in there, what is the one thing, and mate, forgive me for using this term, but that you stand for, when it comes to actually getting in there and being a Green Senator, and what's that one message we'd be able to count on from
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. And look, our slogan for the last election was standing up for what matters. I think that might have to be modified slightly. I'm a young person. I'm a person with a disability, and I'm somebody that's passionate about social justice issues and climate change.
Yep.
We can combine all of those things together, address things like youth unemployment, issues around that. When we do that, jobs rich transition to the new economy, solar power. So that will be a focus of mine, as will the full implementation of the National Disability Insurance Scheme.
Well, mate, we wish you the best of luck from this show, because it's been an absolute joy meeting you. I mean, your personality is something that we can all take a little bit from.
Thank you.
Mate, you've got me in your corner.
Hopefully this is the first of many chats.
Absolutely.
I'll be happy to come back soon.
Yeah, because we're very parochial too, and you'll be ours. You'll be our Jordan.
I will be presented by Mix 94.5.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jordan.
Good luck, Jordan.
Thank you very much.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.